This event will take place. We're going to talk about how you can be sure that you will not be left behind. Right before the service began, somebody came up to me and said, "I need to ask you a dumb question, Dave." And I looked at this person and said, "I don't think there are any dumb questions." And the person asked a question, and sure enough, it was not a dumb question. In fact, I'm glad when people ask questions. In the New Testament, Jesus' disciples would do this occasionally. They would come to him and ask questions. And I think maybe sometimes they felt, well, maybe this isn't too smart of a question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know what? I am so glad they did that, because they're asking the same question we're thinking. Open with me now to Matthew chapter 24 in the Bibles that are provided for you. It's on page 700. And we're just going to look at their question. We're just going to walk through these other events related to if you've been left behind. Matthew chapter 24 says this: Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. So he's walking through the temple area. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." So Jesus makes a statement and he says, this whole building is going to be in rubble. And the disciples are walking with him thinking, what in the world is he talking about? So he crossed over a valley to the other side to a place called the Mount of Olives. And here's their question. Verse 3, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" Aren't you glad they asked that question? I am. That's a great question to ask, and it's one that we have. When we talk about being left behind, there are a number of key passages in the Bible that help us understand this. But Matthew 24 and 25 put it in chronological order for us. So we're just going to move through these chapters briefly and talk about what they contain. He begins a prophetic discussion now and answers their question. Jesus answered, verse 4, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." So Jesus himself is describing this time, and he says this time has a beginning, and then he's been describing some of the events that will take place during this time. Verse 9, "Then you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." So Jesus is describing a time here that has a beginning. Then he describes some of the events in it. And then he says it has an end. Continue on. Verses 15 through 29, I'm just going to pull out a verse here and a verse there. You can read through this. When you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. In a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what in the world is the abomination of desolation. Well, it's a very important act that takes place during this period of time. And that's one of the events that will take place. Go down to verse 21. "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." During this period of time, there will be incredible stress, things going on the earth that are unbelievable. Now, if you've been reading these books, you're getting kind of a feel for that. And it's pretty amazing to think about some of this and to even be shaken by it. I mean, you can't not be when you hear and go through some of the descriptions of what has been taking place. Verse 26. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Okay. Then a key verse, 29, immediately after the distress of those days. All right. In the NIV translation, it uses the word distress. In the King James, or New King James, I believe it uses the word tribulation. It does, and I like that translation better. But what we're talking about here through these verses is a second point. First of all, you miss the rapture. Second, you will be in the tribulation. If you're left behind, you have, first of all, missed the rapture. Second, you will be in the tribulation. And we see that described from Matthew 24, 1 to 29. Talks about having a beginning and an end and some of those events. We'll look at it again. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Okay, so the second thing we need to understand is that you will be in the tribulation. Okay, Daniel 9:27 tells us that this will be a 7-year period of time. If you want to write a couple of these references down, it tells us it will be 7 years. We get that from the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4 tell us some other very fascinating information about a person that will arrive on the scene during this tribulation period of time. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Okay, do we have the next verse after that? He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. All right, this is commonly called the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will come on the scene during this period of time. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4 tell us that. So what you do when we study prophecy, we have to put a lot of passages together to make sense of this time. This is portrayed in the book by a guy by the name of Nicholas Carpathia. And it's interesting. I have looked at the movie that they're putting together, some of the clips of this guy, and he just fits the role very well. He's very smooth talking, very warm, very friendly. But as you're reading the books, and you see some of the things that he gets involved with, it's frightening, this guy. And what has just taken place at the end of the indwelling is also prophesied in Scripture, that he will come back to life after he is killed. And it's a wild time. He will have dictatorial power over all the earth. He will desecrate the temple. That is called the abomination of desolation. And he will claim to be God. Revelation 6, one other passage, 6, 7, and 8, talk to us about what's going on the earth during this time. Wars, famine, terrible things are taking place on the earth during this tribulation period of time. What's next? Verse 30, just continue reading Matthew 24. It tells you exactly what's going to happen. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So what takes place now is we're in the tribulation, and all of a sudden, verse 29, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and then some kind of a light appears. There's a number of different interpretations to what's going on here. And what I believe will happen is there will be a slow, Jesus Christ will descend slowly to the earth at this time. It's interesting, people have said, well, the Lord couldn't come back until we have television, you know, that we can capture these events, and obviously we can do that now. All around the world, we can see what's going on. But I believe for this event, in my personal belief, that it doesn't matter. We won't need TV because he will start to come back from out in space and slowly descend towards the earth. The earth will rotate on its axis and he will slowly come down to the earth and everybody in the world will see his coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ will be the most spectacular event in all of history. Not long ago, I went to Disneyland, and they had this fireworks show. And that was really cool, as I sat there and looked at all the special effects and everything. But you know what? That is nothing compared to what the coming of Jesus Christ is going to look like. It begins with the rapture. It continues with the tribulation. Then Jesus will come back. And what we call this, point three, you might see the second coming. Now, why do I say might see the second coming? Because during the tribulation time, much of the earth's population will be killed through plagues, through all kinds of things. If you are alive during this time, you might see the second coming. There's no guarantee at all. It will be a terrible time. All right. But it's also a time where Jesus Christ is now coming back to the earth to establish himself and to straighten this place out, which we're going to need, or which the world will need at that point. We're going to see the King, and he is going to come in righteousness and in majesty.
That's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. There'll be a wedding of the bride, united by the groom. We shall see the King when he comes.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power. We shall see the King when he comes.
Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? He's building a home for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power to hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power, he'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes.
Okay, this is very important. Let's put all this together. Now, the rapture is when we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Very important. The Lord does not come to the earth at that point. We meet him in the air, begins the seven-year period of time called the tribulation. At the end of that time, Jesus Christ will come and stand on the earth. And that is a very important distinction that we need to understand. People get mixed up between the two comings sometimes. But he will stand on the earth at that point. Okay, go back to your Bible. Well, what's going to happen now? If you drop down to verse 36, what we have now is Jesus saying, okay, let me emphasize a point. at this point. Let me tell you more. And so Jesus, the master teacher, talks about the day and the hour unknown. And he just gives some examples. I shared those earlier in our time together and in the song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Those are emphasized through there. Then you go to chapter 25. And we end up talking here about the parable of the 10 virgins. So Jesus just goes into a story and starts talking about what's going on and uses an illustration to say, you need to be ready. You need to be looking for my coming and my appearing. Then he goes down to the parable of the talents. Here he's talking about, what are you doing with your life? I've entrusted you with gifts and abilities, and you need to be serving me during this time. Be ready. Be expectant. I'm coming back, and you need to be there. All right? Go all the way to verse 31 now, and it picks up again. So we have a couple of little stories in there to help us understand we need to be ready. Matthew 25:31. The discussion continues. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. So what He's going to do is He is going to come back, and He is going to sit on His throne and rule. Now we know from Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, that this time is for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, 1 to 3 tells us that. This is what is popularly called the millennium, 1,000-year reign of the Lord. So point 4 then is this. The Lord will rule on the earth. That's what's going to take place next. For 1,000 years, He will rule the earth. Satan will be bound, and we know that from other passages in the book of Revelation. And for 1,000 years, He will reign and rule on the earth. And that is the last great event before we have the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. All of those events take place after this. But I really just wanted to share with you just kind of a thumbnail sketch of what's going to take place. How did they come up with what they're talking about in this book series? Well, it comes out of the Bible, and it primarily comes out of Revelation, but there are other passages that help us to understand this. But you know what I'm more concerned about today is how not to be left behind. How can you be sure that you're not going to be left behind? How do you get ready? Well, I'll tell you what. You do not get ready by understanding everything about prophecy. That's not going to get you ready. That's good. And we need to understand some of these things, but that is not how you get ready. Let me tell you how you get ready for this. Turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Chapter 26, Jesus is arrested. Chapter 27, halfway through it, Jesus is crucified on a cross. The way you get ready and you are prepared not to be left behind is to understand what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. You see, He died on a cross for our sin. And He paid for the sin that I have. And that what He offers me is a free gift. What He offers you is a free gift of eternal life. And you need to take that gift. You need to receive that gift. To ask Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life. At that moment, you are forgiven. And at that moment, you will be caught up to be with the Lord. You're not going to miss the rapture once you've made that decision. If we are alive on the earth, we will be caught up if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is how you get ready for this. That is how you prepare for it. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 28 helps us. On the one hand, there may be those that have not trusted Christ. You need to do that. On the other hand, there are those of us who have trusted Christ. And Matthew chapter 28, he gives us then a commission in verse 19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. For those of us who have made that decision, our mission in life now is to tell others, to help them meet Jesus Christ, and to lead them in their walk with Him. How do you get ready? Don't be left behind. Trust Christ today. Trust Him. Receive Him as your personal Savior. You don't have to be left behind. This is a great message. I believe that there will be hundreds and thousands of people that will trust Jesus Christ as a result of this series. I know it. It's already happening. And this is one of the movements that we as a church need to take advantage of and to let people know that we're doing a series on this. And when the movie comes out, I haven't seen the movie yet, and I hope it's a good one. I've seen enough of it to think this. I think this will really be a good thing, that we can invite people to see that. That's all you have to do. Pay for their ticket and let them come and see this so that they will not be left behind. That is the good news that we are about. Next week, I do this just because I think it's very important. In book number one, there's a youth pastor at a church. The senior pastor is raptured. The youth pastor stays. I've had people come and talk to me and say, wait a minute, this guy was a pastor and he missed the rapture? How could that be? He's been around the church. I'm sure he's heard some of what we've talked about. How come he got left behind? Next week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about there are two types of faith in the Bible. You need to understand this. There are two types of faith we're going to talk about. Jesus defined them for us in another place in the Scripture. You can have the one kind of faith and not be saved. And there are many people like that. The second kind of faith we're going to talk about is saving faith. But there are two types of faith. We're going to talk about those. I think some people have come and talked to me that are very concerned and said, wait a minute, I'm not sure I'm even going to go. If the youth pastor didn't go, we'll talk about that next week. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this good word from you. It's a good word because you are in control. You are guiding and directing the events of history. Lord, I pray if there's one today who does not know you, that they would make that decision to receive you. Thank you for the hope we have. Thank you for the fact that your word does clearly tell us what's going on. I pray that this would motivate us to share with others, to reach out to them, to begin a discussion with them. Lord, it's your desire that no one perishes. You've also given us the responsibility of giving the good news out. Help us to do that faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.